today we are going to carry on from where we stopped last week. Last week we were looking at Matthew chapter 13 verses 1 to 9. And the story we're looking at is a story referred to as the parable of the sower. And we've been looking at it for the past 4 weeks. So this is our fourth week looking at this portion of scripture. Now, so today we're just going to carry on from where we stopped. But before we start, if you've got your Bibles, can you turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 13, and I will read verses 1 to 9. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn there. But if not, you can just listen and I will read. Then we'll start the, I'll start going through it subsequently. All right, Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9. It says, "That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, 'A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he scattered the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered away because they had no root.' It says, 'Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear.'" All right, so this parable describes a farmer. Another version calls it a sower, who goes out to his patch of land with seed, and he goes and he sprinkles the seed all over the place with the intention that he's expecting a harvest. And I think I give an analogy. I give several analogies to say, nowadays we might not really have the true picture of this, because now we have equipment that does the planting of seed for us. But in those days it was hard going. You had to physically go out and plant your seed yourself as a farmer. So if you wanted apples, you would, you know, go out with apple seeds and just plant those, so on and so forth. So we looked at that in a lot of detail. And I mentioned at the beginning of this study, looking at this portion of scripture, that I would look at it in three parts, three sections more or less. The first section was, we looked at who is the sower, the guy or the girl that goes out sowing the seed. And the analogy we made was that we are the ones that are the sowers who preach the word of God or speak about the word of God. We also said, what is the seed in this context of this parable? And the seed here is the word of God. And the last section that we are currently looking at, which is the third section, is the seed. I'm sorry, that's the soil. So this parable describes different types of soils and different things that happen when you plant seed on soil that has these different characteristics. So that's what we're looking at. It's interesting that at our house we had we're redoing our garden. So what we did was that we took away a number of trees from our garden, like really, really big trees. And what that did was that it left like a lot of topsoil around the garden, like big patches of soil. So we said, what we'll do is we'll get someone to lay grass. I think they're called grass rollers or plants or whatever. So the interesting thing is, this chap that brought the grass patches laid them out really well. And he said something quite interesting to me. He said, look, for the next 6 weeks, you have to water these things, this patches of grass, every single day. And I remember my wife saw the thing and I saw the thing, and the other patches around it weren't looking exactly too good. You know, some of the other old patches were looking a bit, you know, worn out. Even the patch thing that they put on the floor had like square things around them. And we've been watering this thing now for about, like, I think close to 2 weeks. And I can tell you, for the first couple of days, I just went about watering the grass and all that. And it looked like, man, nothing is actually happening here. It's just as yellow as whatever. We're looking for green grass here, man. And but something I noticed, and I pointed out to my wife, I think yesterday or so, was that, wow, can you see the change that's going on? 2 weeks later, the grass is greener, all the lines and all those patchy areas are now coming together. It's looking really, really green. So my mind just went back to the parable of the sower in this instance, that, wow, that's exactly how what we're talking about, that the soil that you plant this thing in, the way you water it, the way you tend it, all these things really affect the growth of your plants. But that's just a side talk. And if any of you ever feel like, you know, gardening, please let me know and we'll send you a bus ticket from wherever you are to come along and help us with our garden. So that's just, you know, by the way. Today we're looking at, so I said we've looked at the sower, we've looked at the seed, now we're looking at the soil that the seed was actually planted in. And the Bible here describes four types of soil. The first one, which we'll look at in detail today, is what it calls the path. The second one is rocky soil, and the third one is thorny soil, and the last one is good soil that really brought a lot of fruit. So we'll look at each of these in detail. Today we're looking at the soil that was on the path. And I think the analogy I gave here was, I don't know if you guys are like naturalist or people who love nature. Now, if you do, and let's say you like walking in the woods, or in, you know, you like going on these walks and things like that, and you're going through the woods, you realize that in a lot of these places they have walking paths, and they're just like, they're not like, it's not like really properly done pavement, it's just like someone has cleared the place and people just walk on the path, and the path is just enough for you to walk on, but it's not really proper soil that you can plant like an apple seed or stuff in there, because it's just not going to grow because of the nature of the soil. So the one we're looking at today is the soil on the path. And I will read just verse 4 again of Matthew chapter 13 as we look at this number one soil, which is the soil that the Bible refers to as the path or the wayside. It said in chapter Matthew 13 verse 4, it says, as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. So looking at this first soil today, the soil we call the path or the wayside, Jesus says something here. He said, as the farmer or the planter, the sower was going, he put some on the path. And immediately he said, the birds of the air came and picked up the seed, so it didn't have a chance to grow at all. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Trafalgar Square in London, and if you have like a loaf of bread or something and you just, you know, put it into crumbs and put it on the floor, you'll be swamped by tons and tons of pigeons who will just come and chip everything away straight away, and it's all gone. Jesus was saying in this scenario with this particular soil that this farmer threw the soil, the seed on the path, and immediately birds came and they said, hang on, what's this? They came and they just picked up all the seeds that were sown. The seed did not get a chance at all to grow or to get, you know, to put roots down in that particular kind of soil. Now, what is the soil and what is Jesus describing here? Well, Jesus gives us a very good explanation of this in Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. He said here that this type of soil denotes when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it. It says the evil one, talking about the devil, comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. So Jesus describes a scenario here using this where someone hears the word of God as I'm preaching it to you now, or someone reads the Bible and, you know, they're reading a passage in the Bible, but they don't really understand what it is that they're reading. Jesus says, in this kind of scenario, that person has the things that they are trying to understand stolen away from them, and it just doesn't stick. Now, am I saying that each time we read the Bible, we'll understand everything that we read there? No, I'm not saying that, but Jesus is just describing a particular scenario here that happens to most of us when we're looking at the Word of God with this kind of heart. So we'll look at what causes this kind of heart to be like this and why the soil isn't really conducive for the Word of God. We'll look at that in a moment. So Jesus also, the Bible also describes this kind of soil, the path here in Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. It says, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven. So Matthew chapter 4, verse 12 here says, there are times that the people that will hear the Bible preached over and over and over and over again, but they don't get it. They don't understand it. Now, what does understanding mean in this context? Now, this is something we need to really take to heart. Understanding the Bible isn't the amount of the Bible that you have in your mind. I know people who are even professors of biblical studies, but they're not Christians. And they can quote verse by verse, chapter by chapter of the Bible as if they're quoting from a law book, from a law digestive. They know everything inside out, but the understanding of it, they have no idea at all. Now, so what does the Bible describe as understanding here? Let me give you an example or an analogy here. I'm sure by now you guys know that I'm a super cook. I don't want to put this out there, but I've been known to be associated with some master chefs, but don't say that outside. But I'm just going to leave that. So let's look at understanding here using the analogy of a chef. So say, for example, I go to Sainsbury's or I go to one of these bookshops and I get a cookbook, right? A cookbook. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to flip through this and I'm going to cook lasagna. That's a simple one. Or let's say I want to cook something like a tart El Dorado. Don't ask me what that is. That's a secret recipe. You have to talk to me afterwards to get that recipe. But just jokes aside, so I get this thing and I open it. And it says, these are the instructions to cook tart El Dorado. And I'm really excited about it. Now, and I read through the menu or the items. It says one pinch of salt, one pinch of El Dorado, one spicy apple baked and all that. And I read that thing. The difference between the person who understands and the person who doesn't understand is this. The person who doesn't understand looks at that cookbook and it says, wow, this is really nice. But they just cannot understand how to cook that thing they've seen on there. So what that means is at the end of the day, if they were planning to have a meal, that meal is not going to happen because they've read the book, but there's no way they are able to cook something that they can eat. So what that means is this, that person, although has the book, the cookbook, although they've read it, although they've tried to decipher what it is, they have not understood it because they are not able to make a meal out of it to eat. So what that means is, although they've spent a lot of money buying that cookbook, although they've spent a lot of time reading that cookbook, they don't understand it. And therefore, it's of no use to them because it hasn't been able to impact them. Now, the person who understands the cookbook is the same person who buys the same book and he reads through it, the cookbook, and he's able to say, okay, I need this, 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 this. He gets it and he cooks the food from following the menu and he's able to eat it. So the analogy I'm making here is this. Understanding is not just knowledge of the Bible. Understanding from a biblical sense is not how much of the Bible you know. It's like saying I know all the menus on the cookbook, pages 1 to 100. That doesn't do you any good because you don't understand it. So Jesus is making an analogy here that there are times that we hear the Word of God as I'm speaking now, as you're reading the Bible, and it's just not making any sense to you. And the Bible says once that happens, once you can't really make sense out of it, the devil just takes it out of your mind. How he does that is another matter. So what this now means is this. We looked at the Word of God and we said that the Word of God is something that when we read or when we hear it preached, as we understand it, our lives begin to change. It is the most powerful thing that any Christian can do. That is to change reading the Word of God, applying the Word of God. And I believe last week we went through a number of things. So what this means is this. If this kind of soil that Jesus describes here is such that it does not understand the word, or the seed doesn't grow in it, how does that apply to you and I? How does it apply to us that we read the Word of God and in certain things we are just not really understanding it? We're going to look at that tonight. And tonight we're going to look at how we can address this type of soil in our own lives. And I said in our own lives because in different areas of the Bible, you will understand certain things more than others. And I'm just going to give us, or let me not say give us, I'll try and explain why that might be. Now, in certain areas, your understanding of the Bible is not as good as other areas. It could be one of these things that I'm going to be describing. And also, when I finish, I will try and address or highlight things that can really help us to be open so that our hearts will not be like the soil in the pathway. All right. So that's the analogy of understanding, what understanding really means. Now let's look at this soil called the pathway, or another version calls it the wayside. What are the characteristics of the soil? What is it that might be our attitude that doesn't allow us to really understand the Word of God in certain areas as Christians? I'm not even talking about people who are not Christians now. That's a different ballgame entirely. But I'm talking about you and I, so that the Bible and the Word of God can be profitable to us, so that it can change us and we can reap the benefits that God expects us to reap from it. Now, I will read out, or I will highlight four things that might hinder someone from understanding the Word of God. I'll call it also four characteristics. That was a tongue twister. Four characteristics of this wayside soil, so that we can recognize it. So I've put here, what are some of the things that hinder us from understanding the Word of God or accepting the Word of God that characterizes this wayside type of soil kind of heart? Now, the first thing here is this, and I'll read that from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So the first thing is this. There are times that we are too logical in trying to understand the Word of God. We're too logical, too physical. Now, we need to understand that there are certain things that the Bible says that does not make sense to our mind. For example, the Bible says that if you believe in Christ, you will be saved and your sins are forgiven. And you're like, hang on, how does that work? So there are times that, you know, we're too logical in our approach to the Word of God. And am I saying we should put our senses aside, our thinking aside? I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that the Word of God, there are certain things that the Word of God says that cannot be understood from a natural, physical perspective. And if we want to view everything we read in the Bible from the way that will make sense to us, then we probably will not get it. Do you understand? So the first thing is, there are times that we are too physical and too logical without with regards to the things of God, and we're not looking at the word of God from a perspective of faith. Now, faith is seeing, well, believing something that you do not see. For example, you guys exercise faith all the time. Do you know that as you are alive now, you're breathing in something called oxygen? I think it's called CO2. Has anyone ever seen oxygen? Have you ever seen oxygen before? Can you describe what oxygen looks like to me? So I can say, well, oxygen is made up of neurons and all these things, but I haven't seen it. But whether I've seen it or not, I believe that, well, something is keeping me alive. I'm breathing something in, and it's oxygen. I might not really understand how oxygen works. I might not understand what, you know, I might not understand the dynamics of it, but, well, oxygen is oxygen. Oxygen is oxygen. That's what I breathe. I don't see it. So the same thing with the Word of God. There are certain things that we do not see physically, and we just need to come with an open heart that God has said this thing in the Bible, and it is true. So coming to the Word of God with faith is required, so that we're not too logical in our approaching the Word of God. Because if we are, it's likely that there are a lot of things that the Bible says to us directly that we will just not understand. So that's the first thing, not being too physical or logical in understanding what the Word of God says all the time. Now, the second part thing that affects us sometimes from really understanding the Word of God is in Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, and I'll call it, Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, the first part, 5a. It says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. The second thing is that there are times that we're not open to spiritual things in the Bible. Some people will say, you know, Pastor Benson, I really like your Bible studies, you know, I like the way you teach, but there are certain things that when you say, for example, some people say the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, as the Bible says, when it comes to all that stuff, Pastor Benson just can't count me out. So in that instance, that person is not being fully open to everything that the Bible says. Am I saying that we shouldn't question what we hear? But what I'm saying is, you can question what you hear, but if I can show you something in the Bible, written black and white in the Bible, and I'm not making any inference to it, I'm not making any inferences from it. I'm not saying, maybe this is what this means, and I'm showing it to you black and white, but you're still coming with the opinion that, oh man, that's just, I'm not quite sure that's true. I'm not quite sure. What that means is that person is not being open to spiritual things. Do you understand? And the Bible is a spiritual book. It talks about a lot of spiritual things. I mean, for example, have you ever been to heaven before? Do you know what heaven looks like? Some people have. I haven't. Do you know what it... I mean, I can go on and on, but what I'm just saying is that the times that we're not open to spiritual things in a particular area, it just sounds too spiritual. And we just zone out. And we're like, I'll zone back in when Pastor Benson talks, you know, begins to talk about something else. So the second thing is that our understanding might be a bit, you know, hindered when we're not open to the spiritual things in the Bible as it is written black and white. So I said the first thing is not being too physical or logical when it comes to the Word of God. It needs faith. The second thing is being open to spiritual things. I'm not just saying, okay, I'm going to stick with, I like the praise and worship. I like the singing that I understand. I like, but when it comes to, like, you know, speaking in tongues or prophesying or all these things that are spiritual, like, oh, you know, count me out. No. The Bible says when we have that in us, we will not understand the Word of God. And remember, I said understanding is not just knowledge. Understanding is being able to apply what you have read. Like I gave the example of the cookbook. Now, the third thing is this. The third thing is that hinders us from really understanding the Word of God sometimes is not really viewing the Word of God as sacred. Now, that word sacred, is describing how it's saying, treating the word of God with reverence as something that is not common. What do I mean by that? So when I say sometimes we not value the word of God as being sacred, what I mean is this. Sometimes we look at the Bible like it's on our iPads, it's on our phones now, we have, bound books, paper, depending on what you like. And it appears that maybe because you can just get the Bible anywhere now, you might not view it as God himself talking to you, because it's like, just go on Google, Bible, whatever version, NIV, and you get it up there. Now, so because it's so available, you can get it anywhere, it almost becomes like, we almost begin to take it for granted. And we may not view and value the word of God that we read as sacred. What do I mean, value it as sacred? When you begin to see the word of God as God himself standing right beside you, Jesus himself sitting with you face to face and speaking these words to you, until you begin to see it this way, then we might not view the word of God as sacred. We might not view it as Christ himself speaking to us. I gave us an analogy of someone writing a letter. Now, what do I mean by someone writing a letter? It is not the person who say, for example, I have a friend and I write a letter to them, not an email, handwritten letter, and they're in another country where there's no email or anything like that. And I'm like, I know someone that's going to Guatemala in the jungle somewhere, and I met them a few years ago, and I need to write them a letter because there's no email, they don't have mobile phones there and stuff, and they go there. And I find someone that's going, and I write a letter, very personal letter, to this person, and I give it to a gentleman or someone who is going there on a trip, and I say, when you see Mr. So-and-so, give him this letter from me. Now, when that person receives the letter, it is not the format that the letter is written in that makes that letter weighty. I might have written it in bad English, actually. I might have written it in whatever kind of English. That's not the point, although, I will write it properly. The point is this. They can view that letter and say, oh, what a letter. Who, what's this about? And they just fling it aside. However, if they really knew, if they knew the person that was writing it to them, and the person thinks back to me and it says, wow, Pastor Benson has written me a letter. I absolutely really respect Pastor Benson. We're really good friends. Now, when that person begins to read the letter that I write to them, it's now not going to matter. The form that the letter is written in is one thing, but what is really going to make the difference is how they view the person who they have received the letter from. So, the third point I'm making is this. If you and I do not value the word of God as God himself speaking to us, then it is likely that we will not really understand what God is saying. So we might just take it for granted. Oh, the Bible. Oh, do you understand? But if we begin to view the word of God as God himself writing us a personal letter, then we'll know that every word we read in the Bible is God speaking to us. So the third thing is this. When people do not value the word of God, when people do not know that it is God speaking to them in person, then it's like, it doesn't really matter. It's just like, oh, I'm not even sure that word is true. If you saw Jesus face to face, for example, let's say Jesus paid you a visit and Jesus was speaking to you, how would you respond? If he said certain things to you, how would you take it to heart? If he said, for example, you should be, nice to one another, would you say, I don't feel like being nice? Or would you listen? Would you say, okay, Jesus, I'll do it? Do you understand? So not really valuing the word of God as it is. Jesus speaking to you causes us to close up to the Word of God, and we do not really, really understand, because sometimes we do not place that value on the Word of God, then we don't really understand it. Do you understand? As God speaking to us. The last thing I want to talk about here is, or the fourth reason why maybe people do not really get an understanding of the Word of God is, and this one is kind of like a tricky one, and I have a phrase I use, and I'll see, and I'll read from 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 10. It says, for some say, talking about Paul the apostle that God used to write like 2/3 of the New Testament. It says, for some say his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he is unimpressive, and his speaking amounts to nothing. Can you imagine? Someone was writing this about Paul, that this chap writes really great letters, but when we see him, it's just like, you know, this guy's not impressive, man. Do you get what I mean? So the fourth thing is this. Oftentimes we will evaluate the Word of God based on the person that is preaching it. And that's what I call a celebrity kind of culture. Now, I don't know. I just want to do an analogy here. I go back to my friend in Guatemala. I don't have a friend in Guatemala. I'm just using this as an analogy. And I used to know, maybe we went to the same secondary school together. We're really good friends. And I haven't been able to communicate with them. I now write them a handwritten letter, right? I give it to a person, just someone who's going to deliver this letter to them. Now, I just want you guys to see the quirkiness of what I'm about to describe. Now, let's imagine that my friend, for some reason, can't read. And the person who has delivered the letter to them now says, I'll read this letter to you, you know, because I know you're having issues with reading. And this person begins to read the letter to them, and he says, Pastor Benson, and he's reading it. Dear John, it's been a while since I saw you. I hope you're fine. Don't you think it would be really funny if my friend in Guatemala now says, oh man, I'm really not going to take this letter to heart, because this chap that is reading it is just some guy from out of nowhere. Does that make sense? Obviously it doesn't. So the fourth point I'm making here is that oftentimes when we are listening to the Word of God, we're checking out who is saying it, and you're looking, is this guy my favorite preacher on the internet? Is this guy a celebrity? I mean, how does this guy present it? Can this guy, you know, can he really deliver the word? Can he really preach and make me, you know, goosebumps stand on my, you know, is this one of my popular preachers? Don't forget it. This guy is just some local guy in Bristol who hasn't got anything going for him. And we value the Word of God based on who is preaching it. But if it's our favorite preacher, or if it's like the Pope or someone that we think is important, or if it's some, you know, celebrity somewhere, and it's like, yeah, I really want to listen to the Word of God because it's celebrity X, Y, that, I mean, does that make sense? Why am I making a fuss out of this? I'm making a fuss out of this because there are times that we place value on the Word of God based on who's preaching it. So if it's not someone we think is a capable reader, we miss it. Do you understand? I'm going to stop here tonight. So what am I saying here? This soil that we're talking about is a soil that does not understand the Word of God. And I said some reasons as it applies to us is that we might be looking at the Word too logically, might not be open to spiritual things. You might not be valuing the Word of God as being sacred because it's so, you know, readily available. And we might be judging the preaching of the Word of God, not based on the word that's preached, but on the person that's actually preaching it. So how do we deal with these problems that we face? Well, there are a number of things we can do. Number one, I'm just going to run through this. Isaiah 66 verse 2. Let's begin to place value on the Word of God. Let us honor the Word of God as God himself speaking to us. That way, understanding will come because our hearts will be open. Second thing, let's approach the Word of God with an open heart, with faith. that even if I don't really understand what the word of God is saying, I still take it as the word of God and I take it as being true. And we can look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And lastly, 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 14. The last thing we can do is to prepare our hearts. Anytime you want to read the Bible or anytime you're coming for a meeting like this, why don't you say, look, no distractions. I'm going to really come with an open mind to really expect that as I hear the word of God, it's not just going to be Pastor Benson preaching. It's not just going to be Preacher A preaching. I'm going to see it as this person delivering a message from the word of God as an ambassador of God. So not really looking at me or whoever is preaching, but listening to the word of God preached to hear what God is saying to you as an individual. And that way, as we approach the word of God with honor, with reverence, with expectation, with faith, then we can move away from this type of soil. And then God can really work in our hearts. I'm going to stop there tonight and I'm just going to pray for us.